There's a place that I went with my wife years back when she loved me. It was a cinder block motel on the side of the highway. We were far away from Hamtramck, my jabbering neighbors. We were up north. And every day, we'd go to the party store and buy 40s and stick them in the cooler, then hike into the woods, up and over the hills, to the sand dunes. The breeze blew through her dark hair, and her smile was so pure and pretty and had nothing in it that curled downward or sneered. We went to this secret beach where it was absolutely secluded, and we stripped off our clothes and covered ourselves with a blanket and drank all our beer and loved each other like there was nothing else in the world. That was the furthest I've ever been away from the black static of this city, and maybe also the furthest from all the anger that whirls in me. She fixed me. She grounded me. It was the best thing ever in my whole life, being there with her. We stayed all day, skinny dipping, maybe seeing only one or two other people the whole time, and not caring if they saw us naked. What did it matter? We're human beings. We were drunk with love and happiness.
Starting off with a love story. That'll put us in the mood. You know, I loved reading this collection, Steve. Your stories, not so much as excerpt, but they're a little bit wacky. They're surprising. There's always a little twist in there that's off the beaten path, and I just love that.
Thank you.
Describe your collection, other than what I just said. It's called Stiff. So tell us about this collection. How would you describe it?
Well, the stories were all written to be read aloud at the Good Time Writers Buffet, which is a literary series that I run here in Hamtramck. And so they all have the quality of a story that's being spoken to you, and hopefully not one that's just written, but one that's being told to you. The stories themselves all are connected to different themes that we had in the gallery where we run the Writers Buffet. So that was sort of the impetus or the prompt for each story. There was maybe a show up in the gallery about walls, and or that had a giant wall that bisected the space. And then I wrote a story. I wrote Her Walls, Not Mine, which is a piece that's in the book that talks about separation between neighbors and houses and people. So there's that as well. Then there's also the stories are all really about people who are struggling and trying to figure out their lives. So that's part of it too.
The human condition.
Yes.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that you had written them with the thought of reading them aloud. How does that change the writing for you?
Well, when I write, I kind of write aloud as well. And so I'm constantly reading and listening to my own voice.
Oh.
As I write, and so that it shapes the way that I'll phrase a sentence. Also, I try to make it sound like, you know, if it is spoken, that's a different way of writing than, say, you know, you're just trying to write something that someone's going to read. So mm-hmm. you're trying to think about how it will sound and how it will come across, and will it come across naturally, or will it feel, you know, awkward in some way? So I'm listening for that as I'm working through the sentences.
I'd always heard about slam poetry, the spoken word, but never really about prose. So that's interesting. And you mentioned the Good Time Writers Buffet. I think that's interesting too. And that's time, T-Y-M-E, correct?
That's right, like old time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a potluck as well? Tell us a little bit more about that. You're the creator of it, yes?
That's right, yeah. My idea with creating it was that we were going to, well, I was trying to create a literary community in the area and felt very much like there wasn't one here in Hamtramck. And so to me, it seems like the best way to get people together is to do it around food. So food is, we'd all have or bring in like a potluck dish of some sort.
Mm.
And then we'd have a DJ as well. And I'd invite five readers and I would read with them. We'd all read for 10 minutes apiece, 10 to 15 minutes. We would take a break and eat and drink beer and wine and stuff. And it was just a very relaxed way to share our work with each other and get to know each other.
That's definitely a step up from most writers' groups that I've heard about. Add food and drink. And always a good thing. Always a good thing.
Yeah. Seems good for community, you know?
Yeah,
eating
yeah.
Eating together is very important.
And as all artists know, you know, writing especially, I think, is a very solitary endeavor. So it's really nice to come together and support each other as well. And you do that in more than just this one way. You've also become the publisher of Detroit's, correct me if I'm wrong, longest running zine, Stupor. Tell us about that.
That's true, yes. I've been doing Stupor since 1995. And Stupor is a project, it's a zine, and essentially what it is stories that I collect from people I meet at bars, and it's also a collaboration. It's a collaboration with an artist, and that's a big part of it as well, because it's I try to shape the whole process around working with another person. Mm-hmm. And so I'll write an essay about them. I create a video about the artist, figure out exactly what their work is about. And then we pick a theme that connects to it, and we go to the bar and collect stories connected to that theme. So the last issue was about costumes. And so we actually dressed up in costumes and went to the bar and interviewed people with a camera, a video camera. And then that video transcript becomes the rough draft of my stories in Stupor. So Stupor is about, my last issue is about 20 pages long. And I try to make that also feel like make that a real community effort where we're taking stories from the bars in the community. I'm collaborating with an artist in the community. And then when we release the zine, at least for the last two issues, it's been released at a local theater here. And they've performed monologues from it.
Oh, neat.
So that was a way of sort of delivering it all back to the community, too.
Wow, you're really good at this.
That was cool.
you have a story collection also, aside from the zine, called Stupor?
The story collection called Stupor, A Treasury of True Stories, is a collection of Stupors.
Okay.
There's 14 issues of Stupors in there.
I see. So it's kind of an anthology of the zine?
It's a bit of an anthology. It's not a complete anthology. It covers from 2006 to 2011.
Tell us a little bit about your personal journey as a writer. How did you become a writer? Were you interested in this as a career? Well, it's not the only job you have. It's not how you necessarily earn a living. But how did you get interested?
Well, I first started writing in high school in a creative writing class.
Mm-hmm.
Found that it was a way to sort of, well, it kind of transported me in a way, you know, like learning how to write and shape a story and make a story. Mm-hmm. I wasn't any good at it, but I sure enjoyed it. And then in college, I went to Hope College and studied poetry with Jack Riddle there.
Oh.
And really enjoyed the process of writing poems. And then studied over at EMU with Janet Kaufman, who expanded my ideas about what writing could be and helped me kind of, I always wanted to write fiction, but really couldn't do it. I could only write short stuff. So she helped me to get into fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I got an MFA down at the University of New Orleans. And that's where I really honed my skill as a fiction writer. And pretty much, as soon as I was done, I started Stupor, and Stupor stories are very short, so I went from longer form fiction to just very short pieces, and just kept writing short stuff for like next, I don't know, 15 years. Then the Writer's Buffet happened, and I started writing more long stuff.
You seem to have a love of writing at the local watering hole. Is that how you usually do your writing? You like to be in a buzz of people around you, or does it vary between that and writing at home?
You know, I never really write at the bar. I've never written at the bar. I collect stories there, but it's all through either probably when I first started. I was scrawling them on napkins. I did have a little tape recorder I brought with me. Now the video camera, I take a video camera.
You just sit down and have a beer with someone and have them tell you their story, and then you go home and write it?
Oh, well, I usually tell them I'm working on a team, you know, and it's usually for stupor. I didn't collect any of the stories from the book at the bar, but, you know, they were probably influenced by my years of collecting stories at bars. The subject matter's connected, but not the process. But when I do go to the bars to collect stories for stupor, I explain what I'm doing. I have my camera and ask pretty much everyone at the bar, you know, if they have a story for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some do and some don't, but it's a good way to start anyway. It's just it's another sort of like prompt. It becomes, the transcript becomes my rough draft, and then I work from there. The stories in Stiff didn't have a start like that. They just started from the prompt at the gallery. So it was the prompt for the theme of the writer's buffet. Mm-hmm. And then I would just sort of brainstorm and create from that.
Do they now know when they see you coming to these favorite bars, maybe? Oh, here comes Steve. Get your stories ready.
Yeah, you know, I'll post on Facebook when I'm coming out to collect stories, too. So people are aware, and some people will actually come out to tell me their stories. Some are just people that I'm fortunate to meet while I'm there, but some actually will come out with a story in hand to tell me.
That's really great. I love that. That's quite unique. So a lot of your work seems to be, at least what I've seen in this collection, has Detroit or a part of Detroit or near Detroit as a background. The theme throughout, if there's a theme, would be people looking for a place of belonging, whether it's in place or person. Is that an important part of how you shape a story?
Yeah, Detroit is a place that I moved to in 95. And really fell in love with the city. It's a place that's got a lot. I mean, it's been beaten down severely, but there's so much happening here at a grassroots level in terms of like art. And there's so much sort of like possibility in Detroit. I guess when you see a messed up, burned out street, you know, maybe a whole street falling down houses and stuff. I mean, it's hard to look at that. But then, you know, those houses, they're going to fall down. Something's going to happen there. Hopefully, eventually, it'll get cleaned up. But it eventually will go back to the land, you know. There'll be trees and grass there again and pheasants and raccoons running around. And then there's that opportunity for people to do stuff there. For farming, or, you know, a lot of people are moving in and doing that. I guess for me, the opportunities here were, well, I was able to get some friends together and open this gallery, and that really changed a lot of things for me, and gave me the ability to connect with people on a lot of different levels. So that's sort of like part of the fertile ground of the city, is that things are cheap, and they still are cheap here, although they're getting more expensive. It was a lot more fertile back in the late 90s and even until about maybe 2010 or something like that.
Supply and demand, I suppose.
You could still buy houses for $8,000 or something like that.
Yeah, that's wild. You have a gallery, too?
Yeah, the gallery, the public pool art space, one that I opened with friends of mine. And we're still running it. And that's where the Good Time Writers Buffet takes place.
You really brought something to Detroit.
I like it. I'm real happy with it.
You're coming to Kalamazoo soon, aren't you? Can you talk about that?
That's correct. Yeah, I'll be reading at Kalamazoo College, 7:30, on the 19th of February.
And you're heading up to Grand Rapids as well?
That's right. Yeah, the following day, on the 20th, I'll be at Schuler's Books in Grand Rapids, and that starts at 7 o'clock.
Okay, so if we miss one, we can take a little drive and catch the other one. Well, thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us, and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thanks, Cynthia. It was great talking with you.